Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We now go down to Shinnecock, where Gary D'Amato from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel standing by. Gary, how you doing, man?
Good, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing well. I want to go back because I know there's a lot riding on this via, you know, players and such. But an interesting article I read the other day, and I was thinking of you at this time, because there was a writer for CBS Sports that had talked about the USGA needing to get this right at Shinnecock, because Chambers Bay was like playing golf on a gymnasium floor. And then he went on to rip Aaron Hills and say that the fairways were too wide, the wind wasn't blowing, even though it was the longest course in history, we didn't have any major names because they could all falter from this. It seemed like they just ripped the hell out of Aaron Hills as well. So to me, what is everybody looking for out of a golf course?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's some older players and some guys who have maybe had their time in the U.S. Open, and maybe some older writers who are used to a certain kind of look at a U.S. Open, i.e., you know, narrow fairways, deep rough, tree-lined fairways, that old classic East Coast kind of classic golf course look. And when you throw something a little different at them, like Chambers Bay definitely or Aaron Hills, I think it's the look of it and the way it plays that throws people off. But, you know, I've got to defend Aaron Hills a little bit here. It was the first U.S. Open, Bill, in 25 years that was par 72. So there were 16 par 5s. And that's going to affect scoring. I mean, guys play par 5 as well. They make a lot of birdies on them, even in U.S. Opens. And then the course, you know, there were some extra wide fairways, yes, because the USGA was worried the wind was going to blow. And guys would have been hacking out of, you know, out of the rough and complaining. So they gave them extra wide fairways. Then the wind didn't blow, and it rained a lot in the weeks leading up to it, leading to a soft golf course. And I'll tell you what, Bill, it was the longest golf course in U.S. Open history, but length means nothing when there's no wind and the golf course is soft. And that's why scoring was so low.
See, that's exactly, I mean, it was Mother Nature that set up the perfect condition to play golf. It wasn't the course, and it wasn't the facility itself, right?
Yeah, they could have come back 2 weeks later if the course dried out, got firm and fast, and the wind blew 20 miles an hour, and the winning score would have been, I guarantee you, 12 or 14 strokes higher than it was.
And I completely agree. I mean, other than the fact that you had a blimp crash, and you had, unfortunately, a patron passed away, but, you know, it just seemed like they were looking for a reason to rip it because it was so new and so, pardon the pun, green, that they were just looking for a reason to poo-poo it and go, no. This isn't for us. It seems like some of the writers that were there just had a level of arrogance about them when it came to golf, when in reality they probably wouldn't know a one wood from a three wood.
Yeah, exactly. I thought it was a good open venue. I mean, it gave the USGA everything it wanted in terms of space and the immensity of the property allowed for all the parking that the USGA needed and all the concessions and all the hospitality. So, you know, the scoring was low, yes, but it produced a good champion in Brooks Koepka, who could win again this week. I mean, the guy's really a good player. He's hurt earlier this year, but he's a wonderful player. And the other thing I say is that if the course was too easy, why did 7 of the top 10
right.
world ranking miss the cut?
That was my next point. Why in the world were the top golfers in the world unable to even make the cut on that thing if it was such an easy golf course?
And tellingly, they all praised the course as they slammed their trunks and left. Usually when guys miss the cut, you know, they don't like the golf course. But even the guys who miss the cut like the golf course. So I don't think it was certainly the USGA, I think, is going to look at coming back there someday. I don't know if it'll be anytime soon. I mean, the Open is booked for the next 10 or 11 years. But sometime when I'm long retired, Bill, and maybe you too, I think it'll come back.
Speaking of that, do we see another major in the next, other than what's already on the books, awarded to anything in the state of Wisconsin in the next 10 years?
You know, I really don't know. Obviously, the Ryder Cup is still coming at Whistling Straits in 2020, but PGA Championships now that the PGA is moving to May, that becomes a difficult proposition at Whistling Straits, not because of the weather during the week, because the players can adjust to 45, 50, 55 degrees and raining. They might not like it, but they play in that stuff in Scotland and other places. But the problem is getting the course ready,
right?
Because it'll only have opened a couple weeks earlier. So that's the problem.
Why are they moving this to begin with? Is this just over Olympic stuff or what?
I think it's that they want to get away from ending the tour season deep in the football season. So they're moving the PGA up, and they're going to have the playoffs conclude right at the very start of the NFL season, instead of having four or five events that are on the same weekends as the first 4 weeks of the NFL season, when, let's face it, not too many people are watching golf at that point.
It's a shame, because in doing so, you cut out the ability of a lot of courses in the upper Midwest specifically that have hosted some tremendous events, and you're basically going back to the same old, same old.
Yeah, they're going to be, they might have to try some new places. I mean, they've never really gone to the desert Southwest, and they go very rarely to the Southeast. They might have to go to some of those courses now, because unless they want to go to the same queue every time.
Yeah, and that doesn't bode well. So anyway, let's get on with Shinnecock. So first and foremost, let's talk about the course. How has the USGA set it up?
Yeah, it's a little different than 14 years ago when it was pretty tight. They've widened the fairways a little bit to bring some fairway bunkers back into play, but the rough is still pretty thick, so... Guys, I mean, the premium's still going to be on putting your ball in the fairway. But what really defends Shinnecock Hills is these set of greens. I mean, they were designed 100 and, of course, opened in 1891. And they're very, very sloping. When they were designed, the grass was an inch tall and putts didn't roll very far. Well, today, at green speeds of 10, 11, and 12 feet, these greens are very, very difficult to putt. So the wind and the greens is what the defense is at Shinnecock.
Talking with Gary D'Amato of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He is on the grounds at Shinnecock as we're getting ready for the U.S. Open, coming back to Shinnecock, as he said, after 14 years. So things got out of hand back in 2004 when the seventh green became nearly unplayable and the USGA had to take the blame because they had to come out and run hoses all over it. We're not seeing that again this year, or even anything close to it, right?
I certainly hope not, and I think the USGA and the players definitely hope not. If that, something like that would happen again, the USGA, look, they faced enough criticism in recent years over the Dustin Johnson rule snafu a couple of years ago, and, a couple of the courses they've gone to, Chambers Bay in particular, and then Shinnecock 14 years ago, they don't need another headache like that. So I think they're going to do everything possible to prevent that from happening again.
Who is playing hot enough right now that we should pay attention to? And then all eyes are going to be again upon Tiger Woods as to whether or not he's going to be able to put four rounds together.
Yeah. He's flashed some really, really great golf. He just hasn't done it for four rounds, or else he hasn't done it, at a quite a high enough level for four rounds to win. I think he's close. I don't know if he can win here. I mean, I definitely see him winning again and probably soon. But I think when you look at this field and you look at the golf course and at the fact that it's a major championship, I think you look at the usual list of the top players in the world, guys who bomb it, who are high in the official world golf ranking. How can you pick against Dustin Johnson right now? He's coming off a victory last week. He's number one in the world again, and he plays the U.S. Open great. He won one, and he should have won a couple more maybe. So I like Dustin.
And then you look at a guy like Jordan Spieth. There's Rory. The other cat... I mean, there's a lot of guys that we talk about that really they don't get nearly enough when it comes to credit. But there's a couple of guys out there that you look at and you say, okay, when are they going to finally win? There's a couple of guys we talk about. Who's the cat that you can't stand, Joe?
Ricky Fowler
all the time.
I don't mean can't stand Ricky Fowler. I think he's one of the more overrated golfers on tour. This kid should have at least one major under his belt by now.
Well. You're right about Ricky. I mean, he's very talented, and he's been in the hunt in a number of majors. I mean, he would have won the Masters this year had there been three or four more holes to play, because he was so hot and he finished second. But that's the thing. It seems like there's always one guy who seems to beat him at majors or two. He's got a number of high finishes. Rory McIlroy came in the interview room today, and someone asked him if he'd be surprised if Ricky finished his career without a major, and he said, I think everyone you talk to would be surprised if he doesn't win a major. He's probably going to win one or maybe more, and it could be this week.
Also, a guy, DeChambeau, who just came off of a victory not too long ago. I mean, is he playing hot golf right now, fifth ranked in the world right now?
Definitely, yeah. You know, not so many people are talking about him this week, and I'm not sure why, because he has become one of the better players in the world. He's won a couple times now and very recently. And, you know, a very smart guy. And sometimes it takes that kind of, it takes golfing intelligence, I think, to handle a lot of things about the U.S. Open, and he's definitely got that.
My long shot, John Rahm. Made 11 cuts. He's four top tens, one win. I'm going to go with John Rahm in this one.
Yeah, if he can control his temper, because, you know, he's going to make mistakes and he's going to get bad breaks, and he tends to get a little fiery when that happens. And once he can get past that, I think he's going to be fine, and he's going to win tournaments.
Gary, always a pleasure. Have a great time. I know it's one of the, you know, kind of like heaven if you're a golf enthusiast. So enjoy yourself, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it, pal.
Talk to you soon. There you go. Gary D'Amato, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He is down in Shinnecock getting you ready for the U.S. Open, which gets underway tomorrow. And if you're a golf enthusiast, good weekend. Father's Day weekend and U.S. Open golf. Then you throw some baseball in there, and holy mackerel. Just put a television on the back of the house like I do. Sit back, fire up the grill, have a few beverages, have the cooler sitting right there, and maybe a good cigar alongside. Tell the dog to go get your slippers. That is euphoria right there. And if you can hire a lawn service for the weekend, holy crap, you got it made. There you have it. He joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com if you're looking for a great team or new team. Again, our friend over at Schneider, go to schneiderjobs.com. Schneiderjobs.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.